Today's daf is Baba Basra, daf Kuf Zayin, and we are on the last daf here in the seventh parak of Maseches Baba Basra, the last daf relating to issues of mechira and sales, and today is not really about sales, but it's the tangential discussion that the Gemara brought up to the topic that we had, if somebody makes a sale and there is a mistake made. So here too we continue talking a little bit about Yerusha, where if there was a mistake made in the Yerusha, there was a long-lost brother that was forgotten, or related today, we're going to start off with if there was a Yerusha split up and then something happens afterwards that it might have to be split up again. So that's the last discussion before we get into Bez Hashem Yesh Nochalin on tomorrow's daf. So we start with the second line here on Daf Kuf Zayin Amid Aleph. Itmar. Achin Shechilku Uba Bal Chov V'not Achelko Shalechem Mehen. What happened? The brothers split up the property, and then the father's Bal Chov, a creditor of the father's, comes and takes his payment, what he's owed, all from one of the brothers. Takes it from one of the brothers. The question is, how was he allowed to do that? What do you mean? What? Isn't it split up equally? Why should he be able to take only from one of the brothers? That's what Tosfos says on top. Tosfos Yim Tomar, Heich Taraf Kol Chelko Shalechan Mehem, Hakulan Chayav and Lefrachov Avian. They all have to pay back their father's chov. V'yachol Mikol Echad Chelko Hamagio. Right? Shouldn't it be that they only have to pay back a portion, the ratio? Right? As the Gemara says later on in Yish Nochlin, Yatzalei and Shtar Chov Bechar Notel Pishnayim. Right? So isn't it? Shouldn't it be proportionate? So Tosfos's answer is the Yishlomer Dahacha Mayri could go into Aso Apotiki. Right, it's an apotiki. There was a designation for what would be collected from this loan, and that is why, says Tosfos, that is the case at hand. If we look at the Ritva quotes three different answers to this question. Number one is the apotiki, but he quotes two other answers also. Inami kagon kihi lavada haisa ziburis. Only one of the brothers had ziburis, the most inferior type of land. And as we know, there are different collections for a balchov, for a nizak, for a hektish, right? All these cases, as is discussed in the beginning of Baba Kama. So here, ziburis goes to a balchov. So he was the only one that had ziburis. That's why he, the balchov, took from only one of the brothers. Number two. Number three, says the Ritva, inami shehayu kol karkoseim shavos. The kivat sheheim, Einam yachol lekameis v'laseis lo piron chovo b'mekol mos befuzarim yachol letvol lekol echad mehem. I don't want, says the Baal Chov, I don't want a little bit here and a little bit there and a little bit there. That doesn't work for me, right? It's not going to be worthwhile. I want all of the property in one area, right? That's why it's not just money that we're talking about, and therefore the Baal Chov has the right to take it all from one. So that is all why he is allowed to take it from all of it. Let's just read the psak and then we'll continue the ritva. So what's the halacha? So again, a Baal Chov comes to take us from one of the brothers. So what happens? So three different opinions in the Gemara. Rav Amar Batla Machlokes, as we saw yesterday. Rav says, just like if another brother came, the whole thing goes back to the pot, then you have to start again. So to hear Batla Machlokes, it's not that the other brother or the other brothers give a little portion of what they got to the brother that it was taken from, but no, you have to start again. Bala machlokas. Ushvul amar viter. Shvul says no. Viter, it's done, and the other brothers do not have to pay back the brother that it was taken from. Veravasi omar notel revia bakarka veravia b'mos. Ravasi says no. You take either a quarter of the karka, a quarter of the mos. We'll see. Ravasi is not sure. So the middle ground between zero and a half is going to be a quarter, and that's why it's going to be a besupik. The Gemara is going to go through each one of these in a couple of minutes. But even before we get to the explanation of each of these shitos, there is a discussion. Let's go back to that ritva. The Ritva says, then Mika Nireh, from this discussion, the fact that all of it could come from one of the brothers, Mikan Nireh Siyua Laharambam. This seems to prove the Rambam in the Chosmal of the Lova in Perachafei. The Rambam holds that if somebody lends money and there are two cosigners, there are two Arevs, I discussed the main sugi of Arev is the end of our Masechta, all the way at the end. But the Rambam says, Hamal Lachaveira Aide Shnei Aravim, Gove Me'eze Mehem Sheyirtze Hakol. The Rambam says, if there are two or three Arevs, you can take everything from one of them. You don't have to take a portion from each of the Arevs. To Hahacha Nechsoi Debar Inish Inun Arvin Bey. Like here, the Nechasim of a person is like his Arev, is like what one collects from. Umidun Arvis Gove Me'eze Mehem Sheyirtze Kigashikulan Shavos. Every can collect from all, any of them. V'cheinu b'tosefta k'devei Rabbeinu. And it seems like it's a Tosefta, like the Rambam also. So, that's what it appears. This Gemara sounds like it's right to the Rambam, but the Ritva adds, Aval ein lo rai mikan. But it's not explicit. Nira siyua, it's a siyua, it's not a raya. That's the difference in Lashon and the Ritva. Because, remember I gave other answers. I gave other answers before. So the Dilma, time of the Hakam Bishop Idach Anfe, Kidda Kasivna. Right? Maybe this is an apotiki. Maybe there are other reasons. But this is a siyua. A little bit, one might say that this is the Rambam Shita, that if there is a case of a couple of Arevs, then the Balchov could collect from any of the Arevs that he wants. He could collect everything. Fine. This is the Rambam Shita against other Rishonim except against Baali Atosfos. The problem is the Shita of the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch, there seems to be a stira in the Shulchan Aruch. By the way, on that Rambam, the Ravid argues. The Rambam who says there in Parakhaf Hey Alacha Yud, I'll read it again from the Rambam now, not from the Ritva. Shnayim she'ir vula echad. Kishe yavo hamalve lefroa mina arev. Yifra me ezvim she'irtse. You can go to whichever one. Vim lo haya la echad kedei achov. Chozer v'tavei hasheni b'shar achov. If I'm owed 100 and the first Arif had 80, I can take 80 from him and 20 from the next one. And the Ravid says, Eino mechuvar elo lafi haminhag, v'lemeidim min ha'akum li Yisrael. Says the Ritva, no, you go on the minhag, like the minhag. Says Rav Shachin Aviyah Ezri to explain the Ravid, shesover shegover rak mechzem yizeh machzem yizeh. Right? Like the, you split it up amongst the, if there's more than one co-signer, guarantor, then you split it up. What's the problem? Rav Shach points out the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch in Choshe Mishpat, Kuflam and Beis Gimel, quotes the sheet of the Rambam in the case of Shnayim She'irvu, Gova Me'ezem She'irtze. Fine. But in the case, in Simit Kuf Zayin, by the case of Yarshim, he does not quote that case. He does not quote that the Balchov could take it from any one of the Yarshim. Does not quote it. B'shtayim she'yarshu she'eni yacholik vos be'echad behem kol achov rak ba'aputiki. Like Tosfos says, only an aputiki. Meaning if it's not an aputiki, you have to split it up. Stira, does the Shulchan Aruch like the Rambam or not? By a case of Balchov and an arev for a couple of loves. No, a couple of arevs for a love. There he passes like the Rambam. He could collect all from one of them. But by the case of Yerusha, like our Gemara, he doesn't. He says only an aputiki. That's the stira in the Shulchan Aruch that the Nosei Kelim and the Achronim try to figure out. So on this halacha, the Aviyah Ezri of Shach writes, a yesod in terms of arvus, and we'll have to come back to this at the end of the Masechta when we get there, in a couple of months. We still have a lot going here in Maseches Baba Basra. Says Rav Shach, when an Arev pays, when an Arev obligates himself, so where does that obligation come from? So the simple interpretation I would have said is that the Arev promises to fulfill the obligation of the Loveh. The Loveh got money, so the Loveh has to pay back. If the Loveh doesn't pay back, so then the Arev accepts to fulfill that obligation. That's the simple understanding of Arev, says the Rav Shach, but that can't be true. No. Ella, it's not true. And I'll bring, before he says what it is, he says, I'll bring you a raya. Because the number of Rishonim say, in the first parak of Kiddushin, remember the sugyas of Mekudeshes midin Arev, Mekudeshes midin Evet Kanani, those sugyas there. There's the Gemara there says, Zrok mana layam v'eschayv ani lecha. Throw money into the sea, and I'll obligate myself to you, midin Arev. So there is no obligation that a person accepted to pay somebody else. You throw money into the sea, and I'll pay you. Midin Arev. Just like an Arev never gets anything, and he obligates himself, so too there. There's no chiv to be fulfilled. Right? So it's not just that I'm going to fulfill a chiv that was already taken by someone else. But rather, says Rav Shachir, Ela Shachiv Ha'arev, Hu Chiv Atzmuso, Shehu Chayiv Atzmo, V'kach V'kach Kefi Ashir Shezeh Lava. It's an independent obligation. I accept to pay you how much? Based on how much he borrowed. But it's not that I am fulfilling his obligation when I pay. That's the trigger. The trigger is how much, not even a trigger. That's just how much I have to pay. The trigger, I should say, is his own obligation. Ubahai hana demotzi mamon al piv v'samach alav mischayavu ukishegova min ha'arev lo niftar halove meyikar chiyuvo. When the arev pays, it's not that the lova's obligation dissipates. No, there's just a tznai. Mitznai achiyev shel ha'arev she'in ha'malve gove pa'amayim. It's just that if the malve collects my obligation, he can't collect the lova's obligation. That's a tznai in the agreement. V'im gavav min ha'arev, ina yachal shuv l'gvos min ha'lova. V'im yigvav min ha'lova, and if he collects from the lova afterwards, then he has to give me back, because he can't collect twice. Aval ein ma shegavav min ha'arev tashlumin al-chiv shel ha'lova. It's not tashlumin. And therefore, that's the svar for the Rambam. Right, why does the Rambam say you can collect all from one Arev? Because it's not that these three Arevs have accepted the obligation of the Loveh, which would then make it seem that you have to collect from each one of them only part of it. No, each one of them has a separate, independent obligation. Separate. And therefore, you can collect all from one of them. That's the explanation of the Rambam. And that's the Shulchan Aruch by Balei Chovos. But it could be that the Arev discussed by Yarshim is different. There, they all come from the father. They all come from the father's obligation. It's not that they accepted a separate, when they split it up. And it's not the property that the Yarshim got. That's a different type of Arev. Right, it's not that there's a separate obligation. That's the arvus of the property. Nechasim debay inish. Right, so that's different. Avo b'shnei yarshim, av sheyesh alayu chiyav haguf, avo me'achar shekol chiyav haguf chal alayu adei sheyarshu hakarka hamushubedes, since they all accepted the karka, umikiva shekol echad natal rak chetzya shel hakarka, ein chiyav haguf chal al kol echad ve'echad, rak b'machzah zachov. There, it could function differently, and therefore, maybe that's why the Shulchan Aruch does not quote the Rambam by Yerusha, the Arev of Yerusha, like Argamar, but he only quotes it by the regular case of Loves. That's an important formulation that the Avi Ezri has there in Ilchos Mamav Loves, all issues relating to Arvus. Okay, we continue. So now it says the Gemara, so we had a three-way machlokas quoted here. Rav, Rav Asi, and Shmuel. So, Rav said, if the Baal Chov comes, takes from all one of them, okay, so you gotta put it back all into the pot and start again. Butla machlokas. Shmuel says, no. Shmuel says, Viter. So what's the svara? What are the svaras behind this? And Rav Asi says, you take half. Revia. So, Rav, Amr Butla machlokas. Rav says, if the Balchov comes and takes from Ruvain. So then Shimon, you know, you have to start again. Bala machlokas. Kasavar ha'achid shechilku yarshim hein. Because Rav holds that the brothers that split it up are yarshim. It's not like there was a transaction here. They are the stand-in for their father. So there's no difference, as the Rashbam formulates here. There's no difference whether the Balchov comes before they split up the property or after they split up the property. Right, it all came from the father. And therefore, even if they split it up already, so split it again. Right, you have to put it back into the pot. Achim shechilku, yarshim heim. And the formulation of the Rashi, this comes up in Baba Kama too, and the Rush in Baba Kama Daftes, say, the chokim, batla machlokas, osa chaluka, betela, the chosu v'chokim b'shave hachilek hanishar, because they all have kiyarshim damo. Rashi says, v'al shneihem lifroa. The chiyuv is on both of them. They're stand-ins for their father, kara da'avuha, and they're yarshim, and therefore they have to pay it. If one of them paid, so then the other one has to, you have to start again. Because it's as if the father had all the property, and, you know, they have to split it up. That is, Rav Shita. That's Batla Machlokas. The Rashbam here also quotes one other part of the Svara of Rav. Look at the first wide line. The Svira Leila Rav, Yesh Breira. That also, Breira is working here. What's Breira? The sugya of once something is huvrar, once something is cleared up, we see the roots of that already in the past, in Aregal Achas, even though the Amshal Shlomo says this is one of the most complicated sugyas in all of Shas, that he has 25 pages of it in the Amshal Shlomo. But he says it's a very large sugya. There are different types of Breiras, and many times, somewhere in every sugya of Breira, one of the Rishonim say, don't compare this Breira to all the other cases of Breira. So we always have that ability to be machalic, because the Rishonim already are machalic between different categories of Breira, right? Huvrar, Memela versus Huvrar Al Yedei Adam, Vaday Huvrar versus the Safik Huvrar to open. So that's the difference in different cases. But either way, the Rashbam says here, the Sfir Leilarav Yesh Breira, Huvrar Hadavar Shezacha Kol Echad Bechelka Harailo. It is Huvrar that everybody was Zoche in their Chelak Harai, but Nimsa, Delo Lachu Zemizeklum. So it comes out basically they didn't take anything. If this was taken by the Baal Chov, so it comes out that it was supposed to be given to this person originally, and therefore Yesh Brera also fits in to the case. So that is Rav Shita, again Brera, and everybody has their own personal chiyuv to pay for the father, because brakar devua, they're all stand-ins for the father. Number one, Ushmuel Amar. The second day it was Shmuel Viter. No, Shmuel says that Mevater, that the brother that had the money taken from him, it's a little tough luck on him. Why is it tough luck? Kasavar Achashachelko Lukuchosain. Because the brothers that split up are considered Lukuchos, and let's just finish the line, Ukalokeach Lobachrayas Dami. And they're not like only Lukuchos, but the Lukuchos without security, without Achrayas. Because each one of them accepts to take this property, and just like you're not going to be responsible for me, I'm not going to be responsible to you. We split it up. Where was their achrayus here? Right? And that's what the Rashbam adds in. Shmuel holds, ain't brera. Ain't brera. Right now it's a new splitting up. It's not like it was when it was in the estate of our father. Right? It's separate. I bought this. It's ke'ilu. I bought it. We split it up. Rashbam, third line. Ke'lekuchos damu. De'ein brera. V'nimsa. Shekolecha natal chelek achif. U'ke'ilu hechlifu. Ze bechelko shel ze dami. It's as if they split it up, and it's totally different than what it was beforehand. V'hainu lekuchos. Tekibet lekuchos sinu. Havadik lokech shel bachrayas dami. Right. I took mine. You take yours. And shalom al Yisrael. There's no, we don't have any claims on each other. But then the Rashbam adds, and this is a machlokas we showed him, but don't we have a principle called achrayus ta'as sofer? That achrayus, when a buyer takes something, it's automatic? It's automatic, even if the shtar doesn't say that if a Baal Chov comes, I'm going to pay you back. Right? Isn't that automatic? So explains the Rashbam on the fifth wide line. If I sell you a property, and then one of my creditors eventually comes and takes the property, I have to give you back your money. Even though we say there, we say achrayas to sofer, imbo pirish bishtar hamachira, if it wasn't explicated. So one answer could be, not what the Rashbam says. One answer could be is the Yad Ramah. This is Shmuel Lishitaso. Achrayas lav toas sofer. That is what the Yad Ramah says right here. In one little line, doesn't make a fuss about it, but he says, Shmuel etameh damar achrayas bishtari mekach umemkar lav toas sofer. Okay, we'd rather not say that. We'd rather not box ourselves into one man damar. But if it's Lashitas, okay, but the Rashbam says no. Even though achrayas toas sofer, hani mili, hecha dezovin karka michavre. By sales, we say achrayis is toas sofer. If I buy a property, I don't want to give you the money unless I'm going to keep the property. If I don't keep the property, then I want my money back. That's nothing to talk about. Achrayis toas sofer. It's automatic. But here, are the brothers throwing away money? No. They're splitting up their father's estate. So where is the automatic kabbalah that, oh, I would never do this unless? No, you don't have that here. It's a different type of case. To call echa notel chelko, bi hahihana, with that, like we had yesterday. To e lo makabal achrayas al shel chavero, with the hana that I am not going to take responsibility for your property, you're not going to take responsibility for my property. Right, and each one takes their property. Gomer umakle le chavero, chelko le gamre, shelo yikabal achvero achrayusu alav, vlo tishtabi lo sadeyus. This is the explanation of the Shita of Shmuel, of Viter. We feel very bad for the one brother that lost it, but technically, if the other brothers want to do something and be nice, fine. But technically, they do not have to give anything back. So Rav says, everything starts again, and Shmuel says, nothing moves and nothing changes after the property was taken. And Rav Asi, Misafkale, back to the Gemara. Rav Asi is Misupak. He's not sure. Iyarshim havi yilakuchos havi hilkach nota revia b'karka revia b'mos, and therefore he says the middle. Take a quarter, either a quarter of karka or a quarter of mos. Right, there's a couple of days on how to understand this, but that's the simple understanding. He's not sure. It should be like Yarshim, and the first brother should have to pay back in full, or like Shmuel, he should have to pay back zero. So mamon amuta b'safek chokin. You take the middle ground, and it's a revia. Period. Amar Rav Papa, Hilchasa, Bekala Anishmaitsa, the halacha in all these cases, in our case here, whether it is a Balchov that comes or a third brother that comes, in all the cases, Makamsin, as we had yesterday, just take off a piece. But you don't start again, just take off a piece and give back. Amemar Amar, Batla Machlokas, Vehilchasa, Batla Machlokas. No, Amemar says, I think Batla Machlokas, like Rav holds, right? Interesting that, does this fit into the general principle? Halacha Karav Bi Isure, Halacha Shvel Bedini, right? Is this Din? Is this Isser? That, Be'ez Hashem, is a sugi we start tomorrow. Yerusha. Is Yerusha a pure Dine Mamanis type of case? Or is there something deeper? It's not just Dini Mamanis, right? Hilchas Yerusha. What section of Shulchan Aruch is Hilchas Yerusha in, as we will discuss? And what's the context and how is it described? We'll see an important Rambam by the Shem in the coming weeks.
If we got the Malkitsi, does it have to be an area enough to plow?
Right, Makamsin, does it have to be a significant area? What if there are 10 brothers? Could they each give a certain amount? So it could be that they just have to give a little bit from each one. It doesn't say like it has to be a significant amount for each one. Okay, Tana Rabbana, next. Shlosha Sheyardu Lashum. Once we're talking about, again, related issues of what happens if there's a mistake made afterwards and other issues of splitting up property, so we continue. So Tana Rabbana, Shlosha Sheyardu Lashum. What happens? There were three Dayanim, right, that went down to split up Nichsei Yisomim, right, the Rashbam says, you have property of orphans, Lamazon Isha Vahabanos. Right, a man died and you want to feed his wife, you want to feed his daughters, so you need three people to estimate the value of a piece of land and sell it on behalf of the Yisomim. The Ritva says maybe we're talking about selling it for other estimating it for other purposes, but either way, you have three people. Echad Omer B'mana, Ushayim Omer B'masayim. One of them says, the field is worth a mana, and two of them said, the field is worth, Masayim. Or the opposite. Echad Omer Masayim, Ushayim Omer B'mana. What's the halacha? You go after the rove. Batel Yachid B'mi'uto. You go after the rove, and the Yachid is Batel B'mi'ut. The Yachid is Batel in the B'mi'uto in the rove. Why? We'll see the Rashbam. The Rashbam quotes the Pasuk in Shmos Chav Gimel, Acherei Rabim Lahatos. We'll see B'ezrem soon. That is a mitzvah Saseh Daraisa, to follow the rove. Let's continue though first. Echad Omer B'mana, Ve'echad Omer B'esrim, Ve'echad Omer B'shloshim. What about this case? One says mana, that's 100 zuz. One says 20, which is 80 zuz. One says 30, which is 120 zuz. So 80, 100, 120. So what's the, there is no rove. Is there? The Gemara says, nidon b'mana. So you go 100. Why? Because, as the Rashbam explains, because it could be that two of them say it's at least 100. So it's a rove that say at least 100. That's why you could go by 100. Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Tzadok Omer, no, nidon betishim, you go by 90. Right? Again, it was 80, 100, 120. You go by the middle ground between the two lower numbers, the 80 and the 100. Acherim omrim osin shuma b'nehem u'mishalshin. And according to Acherim, you make a shuma b'nehem. What is the shuma b'nehem? As the Rashbam explains, you go take the difference between the highest and the lowest. Right, it was 120 and 80, so the difference is 40. You take a third of that, 13 and a half, and then add that to the lowest number. So it's 93 and a half. That's the calculation of Acherim. Stop there for a moment. Those are the three days. But before we turn over, let's talk a little bit about rove. So we said, if it's clearly a rove, then you go by the rove. And that's a mitzvah Saseh Daraisa. That is the chinuch. As the chinuch follows the Rambam's counting, a mitzvah isn't always an obligation. It's an area of halacha, could be called a mitzvah. Judging a case, shor, bor, hever, eish, right? Those are mitzvos. Those are counted as separate mitzvahs by the Rambam. What is a mitzvah of eish? The mitzvah of bor, the answer is to judge cases. There's a mitzvah of toin v'nitan, right? Of bezdin dealing with parties coming to court. That's a mitzvah. So here too, there's a mitzvah of following the majority. Achrei rabim lahatos, the chinuch and mitzvah ayin ches, lintos achrei arabim, the who, kishiyipo machlokas ben achachamim, v'din midini atorah kula, ukimochein v'din prati, klomar v'din shi ben ruvein v'shimon adarach mashal, kshitia machlokas ben dayane iram, sheksasam danan lachiv, uksasam liftar, lintos achrei harov la'olam, sheneemar achrei am lahatos, and as the Gemara says, ruba da'oraisa. That is the halacha. You go by the rope, a mitzvah d'oraisa. What's the svara? What's the shorish of the mitzvah? Says the chinuch, shenitz tavinu bazeh lechazek kiyum daitenu. This is to help strengthen our religion. Sheilu nitztavinu kimu hatorah kashetuchlu lasek havanas amitasa. If everybody can do whatever they want, and every rabbi can interpret the Torah however they want, and everybody can follow their own rabbi. Yomer daitino senes shamitas in ploni kenu. I think this is true, and I think that is true. Yomer daitino senes va'afilu kala olam yomru bifucho. Even if the whole world says differently, lo yia lo rishus laso seinian behefacha emes lefi daito. If I interpret it one way, and the other 90% of rabbis in the world interpret it the other way, I would still have an obligation to go by my opinion if we wouldn't have this mitzvah. And there will be a terrible churban that would come out. The Torah will be split up. And but now, since we have a case where you go by the rove, yesh Torah achas lekulanu, v'hi kiyumenu gadoba, and this helps us. I mean, we have enough machlokos in our nation. But at least this is meant to minimize. Here's a key line. Afilu im lo yechavnu lifamim hachachamim el ha'emes chalila, aleyem yeh hachatas velo aleinu. And even if, what if 99% of the Dayanim got it wrong, so to speak? Doesn't matter. This is what Rav Moshe said yesterday. Remember, Rav Moshe, we discussed the two types of emes, emes la'amita and emes la'hora'a. So Rav Moshe says, even like the Gemara, lo bashamayim hi, right? Even that Gemara, even if you want to say it's hefaka la'emes, no, there's a different level of emes, and that's also called emes. That's following the rove. And this is crucial, as we know, for the sugya, for the mitzvah of Zakin Mamre. Even if there's a member of the Sanhedrin that really thinks the rest of the Sanhedrin is wrong, but he is outvoted, he has to give in. Right, he's not allowed to paskin against in the minority. Right, that he'd be chayiv misa, because that would be undermining the fabric of the judicial system. This is the whole point of achrei rabim lehatos. Right, that is the rove. Just two interesting points. The Minchas Chinuch brings up here is number one. This is much discussed by the achronim. Is there a concept of rove when it comes to bnei Noach? Is that a special din by Jews? Achrei rabim lehatos. What about by Bnei Noach? That is his discussion. And he first says, Mistama, it's a svara. It's a svara, so why wouldn't it apply to Goyim? The Torah is megale, but you would think, you go by the majority. Right? Mistama, you go by the rove. But then he says, maybe not. Maybe you wouldn't go by. Maybe only by Yisrael you would go by a rove. But by Bnei Noach, no, you wouldn't go by the rove. So he's not sure. He leaves it b'tzarech iyun, whether it's a gzeres akasiv, or it is something that has a svara. He says that by Dayanim, he has that question. And what about Bitul Barov? Is there a concept of Bitul Barov by Goyim? What about Aver Menachai, that's Batel in a mixture? Would you say it's Batel by Goyim? Bitul Barov is connected to Hochenach Harov, where we discussed a couple of, I don't remember when, we discussed, oh, Tzadi Beis, we discussed it back by Rove, beginning of the previous parak, right? The case of Machlokas of Rabban Shmuel, right, the beginning of Amocher Peirus. So we discussed Rabban Shmuel about Ein Hokam Amonach HaRov. We discussed there Reb Chaim about Ruba B'Dayanim. By Ruba Dayanim, there, but then Dayanim come up with a psak, so there, it's not Hokanach HaRov as much as it is Rubo Kikulo. Right, that's where Reb Chaim discussed that. And that also, we didn't discuss it then, but that is discussed by the first stipler in Maseches Sukkah. Also, where there's a Rashi, beginning of Sukkah, very difficult Rashi to understand. Rashi says, if you have chamasa meruba mitzelasa, if you have more sun than shade in your Sukkah, then the schach or batel, it's ke'ilu, there's no schach there. Right, wow, that's bitul barov. Bitul barov by schach. Right, where do you have that? No, it's Hochana. So there the stipler said assumes that Rashi doesn't really mean Bitul Barov, and there he discusses the difference, like Reb Chaim in his way, the stipler discusses what is the relationship between Bitul Barov and Holchin Achar Harov. Do you say, is there ever a clash, or is it a question of definition? If you have A that got mixed up with a lot of B, so there's two different things there, and there's a clash. If you have like cutting rove of a simen of an animal, there's no clash there between the part of the neck that's cut and the part of the neck that's not cut. No. There's a question of defining this. Do you define this as a katsimin? That's rubo kakulo. That's definition. If you have rove of Cyrus by Nazir, right? If he cuts rove of the Cyrus, is that good enough for his haircut? Do you say rubo, right? It's a question of definition. There's no clash. It's not like bittel barov. So there's a lot of concept of rove that might be included in the larger concept of holchan achvar rove based on the pasuk of achvaram lahatos, but they're not all the same sugya. Not all the same sukkah. There's bittel barov, there's rubo kakulo, there's holchan acharov, there's ruba b'dayanim, let's throw in two more, there's ruba de isa kamon and ruba de lesa kamon, two types of roves, as we discussed a couple of weeks ago, the statistical rove versus the rove that's in front of us, right? There's many different sukkahs within rove, but there is a mitzvah. The mitzvah is rove, and that's what's going on here. So if two dayanim say one thing, then that's clear. But now we get into the more tricky case. One says 100, one says 80, and one says 120. So we have three different opinions. One says you go by 100, one says you go by 90, and one says you go by 93.5. So now the Gemara is going to explain. So man de amar nidon bimana, the one who says you go by mana 100, milsa mitziyasa. Right, it's 80, 100, 120. The one that says you go by 100, that's the middle approach, the middle judge, the middle opinion given. Not, the Rashbam says, not the middle amount, but just the middle judge. You don't go by the, let's say one said 150, and one said 100, and one said 80. You would still go by 100. You go by the middle opinion. Reb Elazar, Reb Sadok, Omer, Nidon B'Tishim, you go by 90, which is what? The middle between the lower two. Why? Kasavar, because we assume, ha, ara, Tishinavi, really, it's 90. Really, it's 90. Remember, one said 80, one said 100, and one said 120. So really, it's 90. Vaidekamar esrin, dekatoy asar lachore. And the one that said 80 just made a little mistake. Less than 10. Vaidekamar mana, katoy asar lachamein. The one that said 100 made a mistake more than 10. So that's why, says Rabbi Elazar, Bereb Sadok, you go by 90 because you really assume that's how much it's worth, and the one that said 80 and 100 were just off by 10. Says the Gemara, why do you say that? Adaraba, third line, why don't you say the opposite? Hi Ara, Me'avasar Ashavi, you're picking a number in between, why don't you pick between the top two? Why don't you say really it's worth 110? The one that says 100 really made a mistake underestimating by 10. And the one that says 30, which is 120, made a mistake 10 more. So why do you pick 90 between the bottom two? Pick 110 between the top two. Gemara says, Nokut mihas tre kamoi biyadcha. No, take the first two, the lower two, to be Torah's mana lo mafgile. Because it's at least worth that amount. And therefore, as the Rashbam says here, according to the Gemara in Sukkah, tafasta muat, tafasta. Tafasta mura lo tafasta. Right? So at least, if 110, it could be that, you know, one of them, for sure says it's not worth that. If you say 90, everybody says it's at least worth 90. And therefore, that is Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Sadok's Shita. And Acherim Omrim, what about Acherim? Acherim was the one that said 93 plus, meaning you take the difference between the biggest and the smallest, and you a third it, and then you add that to the lowest opinion. Osin shuma b'nehem umishal shalin. Why do you do that? Kasavri. Same type of sara. Hi ara tishin v'tlasa v'tolta shavi. I said a half before. I meant a third. Really, you think that this land is worth 93 and a third. That's what you think it's worth, which is what we estimated for with this calculation. Hi de Ka'amar Esrin, the one that said Esrin, which means 80 zuz, katoy tleisar, betul salachore. He made a mistake with 13 and a third too low. Vai de Ka'amar mana, katoy tleisar, betul salachame. And the one who said, 100 is made a mistake, really, he would make a mistake with 13 and a third above. Right, which would mean more than 100. V'ubedinu delei matve, and he should say really more than 100. V'haydeklo ka'amar savar mistoydeka mitafina kulehai achavrai. It's enough that I should be 20 more than my friend. Right, I shouldn't be more than that, and that's why he only says 100, even though it should be more than that. So the Gemara says again, Adarabba, why do you pick that middle number of 93 and a third? Adarabba, ha'ara me'av atleis of atlasa shavya. Maybe really it's worth 113 and a third. Right, the one who said 100 is because he underestimated 13 and a third too low. The one who said 120 is because he made a 13 and a third mistake up above. Ubedinu to come at 20. He should have said even more than 120. Savar mistoi to come at tafina kulei haya chavrai. But he said it's enough that I'm saying so much more than my friends. So again, same type of question. Why does Acherim say this? Why do you pick the middle? Why do you pick the number in between the bottom two? Pick the number in between the top two. So Nakat Mias Trey Kamoi Biatcha to be Torres Meya Lo Mafkile. No, Tavasta Mua Tavasta. You always pick the lower one and not the higher. Okay, you get a Maseches Sukkah. Because the Rashi there discusses there in the beginning of Sukkah this concept of tafasta mua tafasta, talking about the shiurim of the Sukkah. I'll just read it for a second. I'll just finish the Gemara and then I'll read it. Amar afun halacha gacherim. The halacha is like acherim, like the third opinion. Amar avashi taima dacherim lo yadinan hilchus avdina kavasayu. Ravashi says this whole svar of acherim is a little bit tricky. And we don't even fully, you have it, then you add a third of it. So we have trouble here on this svar. Are you going to tell us that we're following the halacha blindly? No, Ravashi says you go after the Tanakama. Go after the Tanakama, that is his opinion. Tanu, Dayani, Golo, Osin, Shuman, Binayamu, Mishalshalin. They go like Acherim. Amar, Afuna, Hilchasak, Dayani, Gola. So Amar, Ravashi, Taim, Dayani, Gola, Lo, Yadinan, Hilchasak, Avdina, Kavasayu. Same type of svar that we have trouble understanding. So we're going to go like them. So therefore, it is better not to. We go like the Gemara says, the Tanakama. So the Gemara, Tavasimu, Meruba, Lo Tafasta, Tavasimu, Tafasta, just to read the Rashi in Sukkah Daf Hey. Rashi says, Kol Davar, Shemashma'o Meruba, Umuat, something that we don't know how to interpret quantitatively, more or less. You don't have this principle usually by darshaning. Usually by darshaning, there's a halacha that you darshan. It's not an amount that you darshan. But if there is an amount, in tafasta es hamuat, yafet tafasta. Debatzer mehachi lo mashma. V'im yatsa sha, v'im yimatsa, and if you find out, shehaya lacha lefos hamaruba, hari osifa lacha, velo natzlu mimashe biyatcha klum. If you find out that it's more afterwards, okay. You don't do anything wrong, you just have to add. V'im tafasta hamaruba lo tafasta. Sha'ata nire kishakran bidvarecha. You're like a liar. V'shema hamuad yishlecha litfos. V'yatahir besa litfos. Chasru lecha mimashe biyadcha. V'haynu lo tafasta. Right, lo tafasta, because you could be lying and it's going to be taken away from you. Avo kishetitfos hamuad im yosifu tov im lav mashe tafasta tafasta. U-mashal-hu. Right, that is a phrase that is used, says Rashi in Sukkah on Daf Hey. Okay, we continue. Says the Gemara. Ha'omer b'chaveiro. Chatzi sade ani mocher lecha. If I'm selling you a half of a sade, right? But he didn't say which half of the sade, right? So mishamni b'neihem, we will have to split up between them, right? The half, we'll have to see in the Gemara what exactly mishamni means. V'notachi sade, when he takes half. Chetzi b'darim ani mocher lecha. If he says, I'm selling you half of the field in the south, chetzi b'darim mishamnim b'neihem, not the chetzi b'darim. So he takes, we do some type of estimation, and he takes half in the darim. V'hu mekabel alav makom hageder. V'hu, and he accepts, when he sells half, also included in that is the makom hageder. Who's the who? Who's the who here? Machlokas Rishonim. The Rashbam says here, it's the mocher. When the seller says, I'm selling you a field, then excluding that, not included in the area of the field that I sold you, I have to give you extra outside of that area to build a fence. Right, it's not the amount included in the what I sold you. Because I'm selling you all the tzrachim of the karka. That's the Rambam, that's the Rashbam, who says it's talking about the mocher. The Rambam says it's talking about the lokeach, the buyer. The Rambam says in Uchaz Mechir in Perachaf Aleph, the buyer accepts that included in the land that he gets is the area to build a fence. Machlokas, Rambam and the Rashbam, and it's a machlokas between the Mechaber and the Ramah. In Shulchan Aruch, this machlokas, the Rashbam and the Rambam. Some achronim I saw try to make shalom, elu ve'elu, maybe it depends on the Teferis Tzion, tries to say, Elu ve'elu divri elokim chayim. Why, if the field, imi sadeh she'ein ba klal shum geder v'lo charitz, if there's no fence or anything here, so then the mocher is makabel olav. Because you have to have some type of protection, but if it's a field that already has a geder, But then, Beze Amrina should bedafka Amar lo Amocher, Shechesi Bedarman Amocher, Kadesh Alokeach, Yasa Hageder. So, to finish off the Geder, okay, he tries to make Shalom. Pasha says that there's a Machlokas. Pasha that the Mocher and the Lokeach. Okay, so, who Makabal Amakam Hageder? Charitz Uben Charitz. A big area for offense and a small area for offense. We'll see why they're both needed. Vakamu Charitz Shisha Tvachim Uben Charitz Shloshim. Good. Says the Gemara. Amar B'chibar Abba Amar B'yochanan. What does it mean that you're mishamnin? So the Gemara says, "Lokeach notel kachush shabo." The buyer takes the kachush shabo, half of the value of the field, half of the value of the field. Right, that's what he takes. Look at the first Rashbam on the Gemara. Lokeach notel kachush yad halokeach ala tachtona. The buyer's rights are ala tachtona. Leficha notel amocher lokeach mahamakom hagarua sheba oso sada. I could give you the worst half, the inferior part, the dilma de mechatzi asada amar lo, and therefore lafira nota menachachesh yoter menachatzi kidei de mechatzi asada. Right? Let's say as we spoke about before, ziburis. If I give an inferior piece of land, I'm going to have to give you more than a smaller idis piece of land. So says the Gemara, explaining the Mishnah, when it says chati sadeh, the seller has his rights on top. He gets to give the most inferior type of land that's worth half of the amount of the field altogether. Right? That is Rabbi Yochanan. Amalei Rabbi Chiya bar Abba Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Chiya bar Abba quoted that from his Rebbe Rabbi Yochanan, and now asks from his Rebbe, v'hanan mishamnin ben amtsan, but it doesn't say mishamnin, which means like half the actual field. Not just half the value and giving worse. So it sounds like half the actual field. Isn't that what Mishamnin sounds like? So, Amalei, so he says, to Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Ada achlis kafna yasa bebavel, while you were eating dates in Bavel, targin mi seifa. We already explained this from the seifa. While you were enjoying yourself, right, well, you're eating the delicious dates in Bavel, right? So that's this is what we explain this, right? Rashbam and from the Seifa. I guess we'll see the Rashbam in a second. Let's just finish the statement from the Seifa. What's from the Seifa? Diktani Seifa. Look at the next line. Chetzia b'darom ani mocher l'cha mishanim b'neihem. V'notal chetzia b'darom. V'yamai mishanim b'neihem. Ova chetzia b'darom amar lei. Right, over there it says half in the south. So what is the lashon mishanim? Estimation. What do you mean estimation? Just take half of the south. He said it. So if it meant area and not value, then it shouldn't say mishamnim in the seifa. So what must it mean? Ela ludami. It must be ludami. It must mean I'm giving you half the value of the southern part of my field. But it's all value. So achanami ludami, that's why the ratio must also be referring to damim and not area. And therefore, the seller has the rights to choose a half of the value, but he could choose which parts of the field he can give. Good. What did he mean by while you were eating dates in Bavel? Says the Rashbam, about 8 lines up from the bottom. Ada achlis kafanayasa tmarim bebavel. Shohayita ma'adein atzmacha. Velo hayita osik batora. Umekantaro haya. He was like getting a little upset at him. He's like, you were busy enjoying yourself. And kind of like, if you would have been involved in the gashmias of the dates of Bavel, you know, maybe you would have understood it. Right? It's a little insulting, so to speak. So whenever there's an insult, we always like to quote the Chavos Yair. We had 2 days in a row with the Chavos Yair. The Chavos Yair writes in Kuf Nun Beis, that's the siman where he talks about all the insults in the Gemara. What do they really mean? Right? Like, oh, Rav must have been sleeping when he said this. Right? So as he explained, what does that mean? It's really a compliment. This is, I can't believe that Rav made this mistake. I can't believe it. He must not have been focusing when he said this. So that's it's not an insult, it's kind of saying like, I respect you so much, I can't believe that you said this with your right mind. Right, that's one. Or he talks about our case. He says, Ulefamim amru lishonos ke'ilu, I'm not reading, it's a whole tshuva about this. Ulefamim amru lishonos ke'ilu derech melitza. Ubedicha, kamo shakazav Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, b'babavasra, kuf zayin, ada achlis kavnayasa b'bavel. But then he says, let me explain to you what I think it means. It's not stam an insult, but kafniyos are not completely ripe dates. And therefore what he's saying is, if you would have waited until the end, then you would have really had delicious dates. What did he say here? Look at the Seifa. If we would have continued reading towards the Seifa of the Mishnah, then you would have been able to understand the Reisha. So it's a deeper idea not just an insult. Raksha roy lahamtin ad gemar bishulam v'hama maher la'ochlam lefnei zev ade geruim heim. Hachanami lo yarav der lesofa mishnah v'lochein b'shnei makomos amar lo targimna misefa. The two places, Bechoros Yudches, and here Bavasar Kuf Zayin, he says that because in both cases he's saying, oh, it's the seva, look at the end of the mishnah, and you'd be able to understand it. If you would have just waited, and that's why he gives the mashal, you don't have to take this this literally. But literally, we know, it does play a role also. We know Tosfos, being focused on Gashmias, we know, for sure, does not help one's spiritual state. Again, we're allowed to be involved in the world, but we shouldn't have the focus on that. Tosfos rising Supis on Daf Kuv Dalid. Tosfos quotes a Medrash there. Rav Chaim Kanievsky has a whole Sefer where he explains where every Medrash that Tosfos quotes. Tosfos will quote where the Medrash is. So he goes through every Medrash that Tosfos quotes, where is it? So here's one. The Amrina Bemedrash doesn't say where. Ach Adam Ispalel Shikanis Torah Latoch Gufo Yispalel Shelo Yikansu Ma'adanim Latoch Gufo. Before I daven that I should get Torah inside of me, I should daven that I shouldn't be so focused on Gashmias. And he says it on the Gemara of Rebbe. Rebbe at the end of his life sticks his fingers up and he says, I never got enjoyed from this world, even though Rebbe was very rich. Right? He sucks his fingers up. I'll read it. B'shas b'tzirasol shal Rebbe, zokav eser espa'osav klapei ma'ala. Amar, ribono shel olam, galui v'yadu lefanecha, sheyagati be'eser espa'osai b'tora, v'lo ne'neiti afilu be'etzpa ketana. Yirasam lefanecha sheyishalom b'mnuchasi. That's Rebbe at the end of his life. And this all goes back, as we know, to the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Pas b'melach tochal. Pas b'melach tochal, we have to be ready to eat bread and water. B'ayim surat ishtel. Bread and water, that's it. That's it. It's a little difficult, though. The Baruch Sha'amar on Pirkei Avos notes that there are many chazals that say otherwise. There are many chazals that say, enjoy the world Hashem gives you, not overall, but Chibei v'Kadosh Baruch Hu es Yisrael, Shehu mitzava osam shelo yitztaru ba'atzman. Or, Kol ha'katz b'chayim tovim simin ralo. Mi sani l'tzadiki da'achli tre alma. So a lot of chazals that say we could be involved in the world. The Rambam, right? The Rambam calls the Yerushalmi, right? It's not good to be a nazir. Torah, you're being mafrik yourself for more things. So explains the Baruch Shamar. There's a balance, right? It means you can't be a focus. It can't be totally. You have to be ready. If that's the situation, I have to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in every situation. And whether it's Oni, whether it's Ashir, whatever it is, we have to be ready to be involved in serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu in every situation, and our focus can't be the worldly pleasures. That's Pas B'melach Tochal. Rabbi Lau also talks about this in his commentary in Yachal Yisrael on that Mishnah. Right? It means that we shouldn't be our focus. Shouldn't be our focus. And there'll be times when we'll have more than Pas. There'll be times when we won't have more than pas. Right, so that's the we have to be ready to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in all the different situations. Okay, let's continue. Says the Gemara, Makam Olav Makam Geder. So he, Machlokas, who the he is, accepts the Makam Geder, and the place of the Geder is the amount of a Charitz or a Ben Charitz. Tana, Charitz mi bachutz, uben Charitz mi befnim. A Charitz is far away from the fence. Right, because it's going to be a protection that animals don't jump over into the field. So you need like big, large areas to like a moat outside of the field to protect animals. So a charitz is a larger area put far away from the fence, and a ben charitz mibefnim it's put very close to the fence. Again, but both on the outside. V'zeh v'zeh achorei geder, they're both on the outside. Kidei shelote chaya kofetzes, so that the chaya doesn't jump onto the geder. That's why you need both. The levet charitz v'olevet ben charitz. Why do you need both? Just make the larger one. Idi deravach kaima begave v'kapse. No, no, because it's such a large space, he'll go inside the charitz and he'll jump from there. V'levet ben charitz v'levet charitz. Okay, so just have the smaller one. No, idi zekatin kaima svati v'kapse. Right, because it's small, he could just stand on the edge of it and then jump from there. V'kama ben charitz l'ben charitz. How much do you have in between a charitz and the ben charitz? Tefach. That's as much as you need a tefach. So you have on the outside of the fence, you have a charitz, then a tefach, then a ben charitz, then the fence, and that is what is understood area when one sells the field, that this is the area that is put in order to be able to protect it from the animals. Reminds us a little bit of back in the second parak of Harchakas Nizakin. This is not about Nezek, but just about what's understood sold in the property. Hadron Lach Beis Kor, Rabbo said, it takes us through really a topic that has taken us the last couple of prakim, the fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh parak, right? This is one topic. One topic from back on daf samach aleph, right, all the way till daf kufches, right? That is one topic of selling and different, understandings of sales. Now, at Hashem, tomorrow we start a new, totally new world, the sugya of Yesh Nochalin, a 30 blot parak. Right, this is the second 30 blot parak that we have in our Mesechta, right, Cheskas Habatim, the third parak, and we have Yesh Nochalin in this parak, which goes all the way till Daf, Kuf Lamed Tes, I think, Kuf Lamed Tes, Mabez, right, 30 blot, and then we get into the end of the Mesechta. Okay, we'll stop here.